And another thing. I'm James. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to KPCRadio.com. With me is Robert.
Hi, guys.
Been away for a couple weeks. How you had your little hiatus? How'd you do?
I did well. We were just doing class projects, so.
All right, so nothing important.
Nothing, just
school.
It's just nothing worth noting.
Which
I shouldn't even say it.
No, that's good. It's a good segue because school's not important. That's why we're talking about education today, right? All right.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the different problems we have with education. I don't really have prepared notes for this episode. You never do because you're lazy, like we just said.
I'm not lazy.
I'm messing with you. I'm not organized. I'm messing with you. All right. So I figure we're both in school, so why do we need notes to talk about school, right? So we should just be able to just yap, and we'll be fine. All right. So a friend of mine who is one of the regular listeners on our show, I think she might be the only one, aside from my wife probably, and she's like, you should talk about education. It's like, okay, what do you want to talk about? How it sucks or something? She's like, yeah, of course. He said, talk about how school's making too many robots. They graduate too many robots, automatons. And I said, I think the problem with education is that they're actually not graduating enough robots. And she's like, she couldn't believe I said it. Like, what are you talking about? And first, I want to get your reaction to just that general statement. It's graduating too many robots. What do you think she meant by that?
I think I understand what she's saying. They're just producing – school is producing units of production. Mm-hmm. They study for the grade. They get their grade. They get that little piece of paper that says you are educated. And they go out into the world thinking that they're guaranteed something. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is that they're not actually getting the education that little degree says they did. Mm-hmm. Because all they're doing is cramming. And I don't blame them. I've been there. I do it. But all they're doing is – putting things together, cramming, and finishing their degree. And it's like, well, I'm ready now. Is the world ready for me?
You study for the test, you take the test, and you forget everything that was on the
test. It's happened to me before, and it's extremely depressing, and it's regrettable. People say, I don't regret that. Yeah, no, I do regret that.
They're getting a piece of paper, not an education that you'd want to call it.
I had a really high GPA coming out of this school, mm-hmm. but some of the classes I took that I got A's in, I just did well on the exams. Mm-hmm. And when somebody's like, so what did you learn in that class? Oh,
learned how to take exams.
The door opens like this. Like it was really depressing. I don't like that I went through that. It's not good. And I wouldn't want anybody, if I had kids, I wouldn't want them to.
It's not what a school should be for.
Right.
Right. And I came up with an analogy, and it might sound heavy-handed, but we'll see. Because when I was talking about, we don't make enough robots. I guess what I really meant to say is we don't make the right type of robots. Because, we were in the philosophy club together, talking about determinism.
Right.
Everyone's a robot in some way or another. And I came with a Ford factory, right? Ford makes all these different types of cars, Escorts. Do they still make the Escort?
I'm not sure.
Let's just say Focus. They make the Focus, the Fiestas, the F-150s, and they make GTs, the $250,000 sports car.
Yeah.
Now, they make 1,000 cars. Maybe they make 10,000 cars. One of them is a GT. The rest are Escorts and F-150s. Now, the problem I have with education, the system as it is today, is that it's like the Ford factory, but along the assembly line, everyone's told, you're a GT. Look at this wonderful GT that's being made. You're going to be a great GT when you graduate. And then you graduate and you're an Escort and you're a Focus, right? And you're like, where's my engine? And we're not training people to do what they can do. And it sounds really arrogant when I say it. And I try not to say it. And it's actually a joke on the Big Bang Theory. It's like, you don't rub your intelligence in other people's faces. And I'll explain why I think it's not really arrogant to say that. Some people just aren't smart. And that sounds really arrogant. How can you be a smart person and say that? You're calling everyone else dumb. But in any other venue, that's not an insult. If a linebacker said, hey, not everyone's a linebacker, you'd say, well, yeah, duh. Obviously not everyone's a linebacker. So why should we expect everyone to be Stephen Hawking? But it's not – we try to force people into being this – idea of greatness in America, right? And not everyone can do that, and we end up creating a society where if you're not the best at something, then you're kind of worthless in a way. It's like we have this dichotomy society where if you're not the best at something, then you're literally unimportant. In other words, we're putting down jobs that would seem to most people remedial and worthless. Like, you know what I'm trying to get at here?
I know.
It probably sounds arrogant, though, right?
Well, it does sound arrogant at the first glance. And yeah, it is to say, I think you could have stated it in different terms. However, I will say this, two things regarding that. First of all, potential.
Hmm.
People have potential.
Yeah.
It goes unrealized. It can be disastrous. I'll just give you an example from my personal life. When I was a child, first few years of school, I was doing well. From 6th to about 10th grade, I didn't give a damn. And I was fooling around, having the best time of my life, but I was a daydreamer. And I would just think about stories and how this would be better and that would be movie making or whatever I was thinking about. I don't know, it was crazy. But there was a point where, because of the poor curriculum that was given to us in mathematics, I used to love mathematics. I loved doing formulas. I would do formulas for fun. There was a period where our curriculum suffered. And a part of me started believing that I was not, quote unquote, smart enough. Mm. So it created a complex in me that when I saw math problems as I grew older, I was like, I can't do this anyway. And then it changed when I hit 11th grade because I said, you know what? That's a bunch of BS. I'm doing this to myself. Nobody else is doing this to me. If my education system has failed me, then I'm going to do my best to overcome it. And from that day, from 11th grade on, my grades stayed up, some of them because I crammed, but a lot of times I actually studied and focused on understanding the concepts. Mm-hmm. And I went back to liking math again, and I realized, had I stuck with that stupid mentality, I can't do this, because my grades say I can't, so obviously I can't, I would have suffered tremendously at this stage in my life. So there is that point where you don't want to tell somebody, you don't want to say, these people aren't smart. You want to just see if they have the potential to grow. That's tough to determine. Right. But that's one issue. There is the other side, where the linebacker situation. You're right. Some people, look, I'm 130 pounds, 5'7".
Yeah, I could toss you like a football.
Everybody can. I could run really fast, but I cannot hit anybody hard. Mm. And if I get hit, I will probably rupture my spleen, break my ribs like that. I cannot play pro basketball with those big guys because they're 10 times my size. Mm. And that's something that I just had to come to terms with to understand little by little. Well, you know what, Robert? You're not big enough to do this thing because it would be dangerous. Mm-hmm. So that is a good analogy where you're saying everybody is taught that you're special and that if you don't get the special job, you're going to be worthless. I think that's a psychological issue that people are conditioning others to be kind of to feel like they're this shining star. And sometimes, like, guys, it's not going to work out that way all the time. And not everything is unique. Some jobs are actually really great. You don't have to be the superstar to be a worthy person. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think society is confused with that, and people ruin their lives because, like, if I'm not the best, like you said, I'm nothing to anybody. Right. Not even my family. Not even my friend. It's garbage. It's total garbage.
You raised two good points. One about education failing you, and I want to get that back to that, how it made you scared of certain things. And the other is talking about this potential, is that what you did was, it's kind of half and half of what I said, exact opposite. You realized there was a potential in something, and you were just kind of scared of it. But then in another thing, you realize there was no potential at all. So I think maybe what the main issue is that we have to really focus our education on finding out where these students fit in,
right,
and then promoting that, and then saying, okay, this is what you're good at, do it. And not to say, oh, that's not good enough, because I won't name names, but we both can name a few teachers, some in particular, who are, if you're taking a humanities degree, you're not even a student to me. You're worthless. You're going to be a burden on me later when I'm paying for your welfare.
Right.
And you know, those types of people always drive me nuts, because you can tell they don't know what they're talking about, because they always have to invent lies to support their argument. Like, if you're taking French literature of the Norse period under Odin's with emphasis on thermodynamics, it's like, well, that degree doesn't exist. You're just throwing words together to sound pretentious.
Yeah.
They always say it that way, but it's always French poetry something.
No,
that's
I know.
Always their go-to example.
Why do they do that to French people?
I don't know exactly.
Why do they do that with it? It's wonderful stuff. No, I think I've never been I'm not of the school of thought that says this degree is useless. No longer. I took philosophy for 2 years here. You know.
Yeah.
You and I went through it.
Yeah.
I loved it. Everybody who I told when I told them I was a philosophy major, they looked at me like, are you crazy? Are you an idiot? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do
with
that?
What are you going to do with that?
Well, here's the truth. Because I took philosophy, I can think critically, and I feel content with some things going wrong, because in life that happens. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I grew intellectually and emotionally from taking that. I developed, And some most people would say that's garbage. You should only be doing engineering, which you know I love physics and engineering a lot. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm not very good at it. But I admire those professions, but I'm not of the type that would say this is a useless degree. French poetry, what are you? You're just reading poetry. You need to go out there and make some money.
Contribute to society.
Oh, well, you know, you'll contribute to society, but intellectually you need to grow as a person.
Right.
If you like chemistry and that's what makes you get up in the morning and get excited, then do it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about – if you're not a good writer and you don't like writing, fine. That's okay.
Find something else to do.
Learn how to communicate. Mm. Communication skills with writing are great, but you don't have to go and be an author.
Mm.
But you find what you need to do.
And even finding out what you can't do is still, even though I don't much care for Thomas Edison, the nerd sphere on the internet all hate Tom Edison because he broke Tesla, basically.
Yeah.
So there's a huge Tesla following on the internet that I'm a part of. So, ooh, boo, Edison. But anyway, he did say something that was really clever and really apropos. Ooh, that's French. Pretentious. Ooh.
I'm not going anywhere.
Anyway.
Being the French.
Anyway, he said, when I discovered how to make a light bulb, it took me 100 tries of all these metals that didn't work. And every time that it didn't work wasn't a failure. It was a way he learned how to not make a light bulb. And what that basically means, how we can translate this, is if you find out you're not good at something in school or your family, then you have learned that's not for you. You've learned to narrow down your field to try something else. Don't keep forcing yourself to do that, which is what some of our professors would tell me, including the ones we were just talking about, who would actually say your degree is worthless too. Now they think about a filmmaker degree.
I get that a lot. I understand. Economics wise, I get it.
Yeah.
I understand what.
Of course,
saying.
I'd say economics is worthless, but you know, they never because they're not real scientists.
I want you to have that debate with an economist.
I'd love to have that debate. How especially when they keep talking about how we're the scientists. No, you're not. You're glorified accountants.
I'm going to just bring this up, and maybe it'll go in a different direction. It's probably a topic for another time. But the one thing I've always been concerned about, or interested in, rather, is the idea that the mind can control. That the mind can change somebody's. I don't want to say destiny. I don't want to use those words because I know you don't like to use those words. But
I don't mind those words.
No. It's just I don't want to make you get you irritated, and because I'm gonna start laughing, James. And I'm not gonna be able to talk if I keep laughing. I love because I love when you get mad. But
thanks.
this idea that what if the mind, if somebody didn't take something too seriously, or worry too much about something, what if they could do better? Mm. The idea that. People say, well, you're just not good at something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that's just conditioning. That's just nurture. I know there is a genetic element to a lot of things.
Mm.
But I'm wondering if some of these outcomes are determined by your own psyche. And whether if you just sat down and said, you know what? I'm taking this too seriously. Why don't I just explore? And I'm just wondering how much the mind determines
this. No, there's a great case that's famous in mathematics now. I'm sorry I can't remember the exact details of it. But basically this kid, I think he was still an undergraduate, maybe a grad student, and he walks into his math class, like one of those advanced math classes, like advanced calculus for nerds par excellence type. You know, don't even dream about taking this class. Like has five people in it who barely understand it.
Yeah,
and he walks in really late and he sees a problem on the board and he thinks it's the homework, copies it down and just then sits with the rest of the lecture. And then he goes home, does the problem, says, wow, this is much harder than it's ever been in this class. This is crazy. But he does it for a whole weekend and then a whole week and then suddenly, you know, months go by and he finally goes to the professor's office that I finally did the homework. I'm sorry it's so late. It was just really hard this time. The professor says, whatever, just throw it on the desk. A week later, it's, you know, like really late at night and there's a knock at the door and it's like, the professor's out there. What's the professor doing out here so late and knocking at my door like a crazy madman? The professor's like, can I be on this paper? Can I do this with you, please? I want to be part of this. Like, what are you talking about? The paper you handed me, I want it to be published. You mean the homework? That wasn't homework. That was an example of an impossible mathematical problem I was just showing the students as a problem that cannot be solved. And you solved it.
Wow, that
he
is
put it,
really
he put it on the board as a problem that is impossible to show the students, hey, some things can't be done with mathematics. But he didn't get that part of the lecture. He walked in late, saw it on the board, just randomly thought it was the homework, and just did it. And this was a grad student doing it.
He didn't have the limitation.
He solved it. He did it.
That's really
He didn't have the limitation that was given to everyone else, including the professor, so he did it.
Wow,
and
that
I'll try to get some information on that, put it on the Facebook page.
I didn't
remember
even
the
know
names.
That. That is neat.
It's one of those myths you hear in mathematics class, but it actually did happen in like the 70s or something.
Wow, yeah. That just goes to show you. Somebody doesn't tell you that you're limited. You might be. That's why it baffles me, James. It really, I don't know the exact science to this. That's why I'm hesitant to tell people. You probably should figure out something you're better at. Just because I think the right stage in life, anybody can just figure out something. But I'm going to just say right now, there is no way. There is just no way I could be a physicist. Just say it. It's my favorite science, but there is no way. But Gohan, I don't know where this is going.
I just wanted to tell you
I'm
that
looking
one
at you for guidance now.
Now you just threw me off my groove because I'm just thinking about that story. Now my brain is locked on that. Trying to remember the name.
You can't focus on a show.
No, the point is that if you don't know the limitations, maybe you can go farther. But there's a really thin line there between things you literally cannot do.
Right.
Like the opposite example of this would be like American Idol. When some people go on that show, you know instantly you're not a singer.
Yeah.
You're never going to be a singer. Stop singing
right now.
And so there's complete opposite scenarios. So the thing that education should be doing is maybe helping, and we've been talking about this probably for too long. I wanted to get to other stuff. But that's one thing education I could do, and I actually like about other countries. I think especially in South America, a lot of their schools stop at like 12 or 14, their regular grade schools. And then at that juncture, they say now at like 14, you go to either trade school or you go to like a college preparatory school, and you basically choose your paths. And maybe that sounds pretty, opposite of what I was saying, but it's not just repeating you over, because let's admit it, we've both been through community college now for several years. It's most of the time high school part two, right? Would you agree with that?
Well, not necessarily, because I owe a lot of my I owe a lot of things to the fact that I got to go to community college. I was able to ask really stupid questions and get away with it.
You were able in high school?
I didn't care enough to. And I was always worried that I wasn't going to ask the right question. When I got to community college, I stopped caring about asking the right question.
Is that a pro for college or just a point against high school, though? I mean, could high school have been doing that for you? Could we have been doing this earlier?
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say. We can do these things earlier.
Yeah.
That way, by the time you're 22 and you have a degree that you don't even really care about, you were pushed into. I mean, most kids in their early 20s, myself included, they don't know what they're doing, what they want to do. I mean, they're just kind of thrown into the system.
Yeah.
Like my friend was saying, turn into these robots, and they don't even know where they fit in, which is what I'm trying to say. No one's shown what they like and what they don't like. And I don't mean to throw her under the bus, so I won't mention any names, but there's this other person I know. It's not the same person. She went to a very expensive college, university. I won't say which college because then everyone knows. She might know I'm talking about her. She'll know anyway. It's NYU. She went to NYU, and it's like $50,000 a year there, right? And she went there for her undergraduate degree, like all 4 years. I mean, I can't talk because I'm going to be trying to go to UCLA, which is expensive.
Good luck.
Oh, thank you for that. And so she's spending $50,000 a year to get the education, which on some level is the literally same exact education we got here at Pierce. For 1/30th the cost. I did the math. 1/30th.
Wow,
for every
awesome
dollar I spent, she spent $30. And did she get anything more out of it than I'm going to get out of this school? And I don't think so. And let me finish one more thing. Is that – well, I guess I forgot where I was going with it.
You did? Really? Are you not, are you just baiting me?
No. No, my point was is that I told her – to take a year, don't go to college. And people were all baffled, her parents especially baffled. You're going to tell her not to go to college? That's insane. Kids go to college. I said, no, for a year or two, don't go to college. Get a job. Find out what you like. Because if you go immediately into college, especially a four-year university that costs $1 trillion a year, and if you come out of that not knowing what you like, you're going to be not just back where you started 4 years before, but you'll be literally a couple $100,000 in debt on top of it.
4 years... That's $200,000 plus.
Yeah.
Get more expensive.
I feel bad saying it, but I still believe it to this day. And I dropped out of college, a decade ago, and I think I told you that. And, I'm coming back to school now. And whereas a lot of people say, oh, you're old, you're coming back to school, that's kind of weird. I'm like, no, actually, my path, I think, worked out better for me because I had that decade of experience to tell me what I liked, what I don't like, and I'll probably have a really good personal statement to give to UCLA for that. I have more to draw on to say this is how I came to the conclusion I want to do this, because I had those experiences not in school, and I don't know if it's something that – you tell me. Is this something that is good? Should students not be in school right away, take a few years off, or is this something the school can do? Can it help you find your path?
I'll try to answer it quickly. I think this is definitely something that your grade school could do. Mm-hmm. They could just explore different – they could take different approaches to education. First of all, not emphasizing test scores every single day when your principal comes out and says, hey, guys, let's get those test scores up so the school can get more money.
That's always the worst when you realize you're just a cog in a system.
And the secondly, I think that people could take time off too. It doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt.
I didn't take time off. I went straight. But it does not hurt at all. Some people just need to find something other than school. They need to be away. I know a lot of people who take a year off from education. A year or two. And then guess what? They find what they actually love. And they're like, you know, I'm ready to do this in my life. Fine.
You need to find your place. And
yeah.
If school's not going to help you do it, then you need to do it on your own. So, I mean, that's the big point here. You need to find your place. That's, I guess, the best way to boil this down, right? You need to find what you're good at and what you like, more importantly.
But one thing I do want to say, I feel bad saying this, but I feel like I can't let kids younger than me just go into this world with this naivete. Guys, if you're getting a master's or bachelor or whatever, if you're going to a school, an institution of higher learning that does not guarantee anything, don't be so depressed when you find out that all that glitters is not gold. Mm. You're going to have moments where you realize there are people in your classroom that are just freaking geniuses.
That's true.
They are. My brother went through this, and I understood it too. This is going to happen. You're going to realize, wow, I came to this big school that everybody's talking about. I want to talk to this professor, but he has no time because we have 300 students.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. You're going to even have regrets. You're like, why am I here? And then you're going to have a moment where you're like, I can't leave now because I'm already in it. If I leave, my parents are going to be like, we spent all that money.
No.
For you to go there for Harvard for 2 years, then regret it? Yes. Yes, you did. Because that's life. Yeah. You are going to get to a point where you spent $50,000 and then you realize, oops, but that's okay. We spend money on film projects. We spend $1,000 on equipment, then we realize we only used like two lights. It happens. But the point is, prepare for this. Anticipate this could happen, and it's okay. It's human.
Yeah.
Let it happen. Don't make this four-year institution thing such a crazy deal. Oh, I didn't go to Harvard. I'm never going to get anywhere. No, that's BS. Yeah. You are not going to get yourself anywhere if you think like that.
Yeah.
That's the problem. So that's my message to everybody who's younger, because I feel bad. They come out of high school. They think this is going to be the best thing, and then when they have doubts, they get depressed, and some people actually commit suicide.
Yeah, that's actually a good segue into what I want to talk about, that the banks are making it more and more difficult to actually get this education, because the prices just keep going up. The prices of education just keep going up, and it's hard to keep up with that because it's way beyond inflation. So it's way beyond what parents can do, so loans have to be taken out, and then suddenly you're not just trying to get the grade, you're trying to get the job to pay for the money that got you the grade, and it becomes this vicious circle of you're getting the grade to justify the money, and then you have to make the money to justify the grade because you have to pay for the money. And then so it's not as simple as what you said. I mean, what you said is true, but unfortunately, I don't think it's as simple as that anymore because these kids are committing suicide not just because they're under pressure for the grades, but because they're under pressure for the money.
Yeah.
And that's the saddest part of it is that, I mean, we've been talking about healthcare for the last few years in this country now, I don't know which is more important, the education or the healthcare. Because if someone said to me, okay, you can make one law in this country, you can get universal healthcare, no one pays for doctors ever again, or you can get universal education, no one pays for bachelor's degrees ever again. Let's not go crazy and give everyone a PhD for free. But everyone gets a bachelor's degree for free. Which one would you do? I honestly don't know which one I would do. I'd want to say the education, but people are, you know, literally dying.
If you told me that I had free healthcare, that would alleviate
a lot
of my daily stress.
That's
honestly
true.
That is one of the things that holds me back from doing a lot. It's like, I can't afford to get injured here.
But if we had free education, wouldn't a lot of these diseases be cured?
That's, well, yeah, maybe smarter people, smarter country.
Maybe. All right. Yeah. Well, that was a good show. Thank you very much, Robert. See, I told you we didn't need notes. We're in school. We know how to talk about
school. We could do this.
All right. I have a, remember to follow me, James2012, on Twitter. This episode's tweet of the week is, violence is so good at solving problems, it creates more problems for us to solve. All right. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to KPCRadio.com. I'm James. With me was Robert.
Thank you, guys.
See you next week.